This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Heat stroke hits out of nowhere fast. Heart beats wildly, it won't last. Dehydration makes you weak. Muscles cramp, it's hard to speak. Ah, yeah.
How your body breaks down in extreme heat. We start with the paper, 27 Ways a Heat Wave Can Kill You, Deadly Heat in the Era of Climate Change. Medical Terms Explained. Short clips from an EcoShock interview with the lead author, Dr. Camila Mora, are included. Australian heat and health expert Elizabeth Hanna makes it all clear in a quick replay. Then we have a fast review of 15 lessons from the Russian heat wave of 2010. 55,000 people killed. Wheat exports annihilated, and much more. A new compilation of heat survival know-how for you. Welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Stay cool, stay cool. Heat it kills. Don't you be a fool. Ah.
Looking at world temperature maps has become a gruesome duty. In the first week of July 2024, glaring red bubbles of heat far above normal rested over Spain, the Mediterranean, and off into eastern Russia. Sandwiched in between, colder than expected temperatures over northern Europe, then, extending into the UK and Ireland. About a week ago, an Irish listener complains they had not seen any heat, much less summer. Europe was like two separate universes running on different temperatures. It is all in the bend of the upper atmospheric winds. The jet stream, my friends. Lower down on this EU Copernicus satellite map, they ran out of red colors to cover the abnormally hot weeks and months in North Africa. Experts devised a new color code going into purples and then white, I think. White hot? Algeria is a hot country, I've been there. But Algeria has smashed, not broken, but smashed heat records over and over again in 2024. Remember, Sudanese refugee camps with 5 million people under canvas at best are broiling beyond human capacity. People in Egypt and Gaza are roasting in the heat. Turkey is unbearably hot. Iran is simply under heat siege. It won't go away, even during the elections there. Dozens died of the heat in India last week, again, as in the week before. And in some parts of Japan, the government is warning citizens, do not go outside for any reason. The heat is too dangerous. Officially, more than 7 people died in Tokyo due to the heat. In an overheated city of 13 million people, the real toll will be higher than that.
More than 100 million Americans were under heat alerts Wednesday, with feels like temperatures in the triple digits reported in more than a dozen states. Now, the heat is especially bad in Arizona, where health officials are urging everyone there to stay hydrated and stay inside.
North America experienced a rare double heat dome. It has happened before, but never with such new high temperatures. The hottest days ever were just recorded in Palm Springs and Las Vegas, Nevada. It was 120 degrees Fahrenheit in Las Vegas, or 48.8 C. That is not just a fraction higher, but a full 3 degrees Fahrenheit over the previous record. In the east, at the very same time, Raleigh, North Carolina set its highest ever temperature. On July 6, 2024, Raleigh reached an all-time record high of 106 degrees Fahrenheit. 41.1 C, with a maximum of feels-like heat index of 118 degrees Fahrenheit, 47.7 C.
Tonight, extreme heat spelling extreme misery for a staggering 80 million Americans from California to South Florida.
It's been 100 degrees for like, what, 2 weeks almost? It's crazy.
Triple-digit temperatures amid a deadly weeks-long heat wave. In the southwest, temperatures expected to surge up to 120 degrees.
It is 101 degrees Fahrenheit, 38.3 C, outside my studio here in Canada, and it's still climbing. Any wind genuinely feels like a hairdryer in the face. It is way too hot.
Way too hot!
On Radio EcoShock, I asked top doctors from the best institutions to describe how heat kills. But heat doesn't just kill. In just a day of extreme heat or a few days, humans can suffer organ damage with lasting impacts. They may lose abilities and then die earlier than they would have without that heat damage. All this has been tested by doctors and shown in major studies in multiple countries. You know there is long COVID. It now appears there is also long heat stress damage. This means official statistics for heat deaths in countries that publish those figures are not just underestimated, they are unknown. In 2017, Dr. Camilo Mora from the University of Hawaii talked to us about his paper called 27 Ways a Heat Wave Can Kill You, Deadly Heat in the Era of Climate Change. He begins by describing the five major ways excess heat damages your body. Most of them relate to your blood circulation, and that makes sense. Blood becomes heated with an energy exchange in our cells. That heat is released through the skin, and that process is helped by evaporation. You know all that, sweat if needed. So it makes sense that heat higher than your body temperature will make the natural cooling system process more difficult. The processes of heat damage involve some medical terms, but they are not difficult to understand, and it's your body. If you grasp these basics, you may be able to help yourself or someone else survive extreme heat. The Mora-led team of scientists searched through masses of medical and other scientific literature to find reports of physical damage by heat. They found five physiological mechanisms triggered by heat exposure. These five mechanisms can affect seven different vital organs. Excess heat can damage the brain, heart, intestines, kidney, liver, lungs, and pancreas. If you multiply five mechanisms by seven organs, there might be 35 different ways heat could kill you, but the authors found some were either duplicated or not documented, settling on 27 different provable ways you can be killed by heat. We start with something called ischemia. What is that? I-S-C-H-E-M-I-A, ischemia. In this show, we will not discuss organ damage, covering instead the five ways organs get damaged, the mechanisms of heat in our body. And we begin, as this paper does, with ischemia. Now, according to Wikipedia, ischemia is a restriction in the blood supply to any tissue, muscle group, or organ of the body, causing a shortage of oxygen that is needed for cellular metabolism to keep tissue alive. In the show, I play about 2 minutes where Dr. Mora talks about ischemia and also the gut. Well, let's dig into the very good science in your paper about how our bodies really work when they get overheated. And I'd like to go step by step, Camilo. And the first process we all experience is that blood flows towards the skin trying to cool us off. But what really happens there that is a risk?
So the risk that comes from when you get overheated, just like when you go for a run and you start overheating, your body starts generating heat and you need to expel the heat. So the body, what it does there is start making the heart pump harder and it closes blood flow to many organs in a way so that all of the blood now goes to your skin where it gets cooled down through the process of evaporation of your sweat. So the blood cools down and then it comes back in into your body cooler. Now the problem when it's hot outside is that the sweat doesn't evaporate, then the blood comes back in hot. So the body makes an extra effort then to send even more blood to your skin as a way for it to cool down. By doing so, what it happens is that it deprives many organs of blood. And that's what is called ischemia. Basically, several organs start being deprived of blood. And what it does is that it creates these anoxic conditions on those organs. Right, and when you have a lack of oxygen on those organs, then that creates all kind of chemical reactions there that are detrimental to that organ. The organ that is the most critical, interestingly enough, I found, was the gut. Obviously, you are hot, you just want to cool down the body. The first organ that it cuts the blood supply to are the gut, because you don't need the gut when it's pretty hot. But unfortunately, if the conditions are very long, the gut, the lining of your intestines breaks, and now all of the things that you had inside your guts leak into your bloodstream. And what you ended up having is this massive contamination of your body with everything that was in your guts, into your bloodstream. And again, all of that, the result of the fact that there was just no blood getting into your guts. And that's one of the mechanisms that we found causes people to die during these heat waves. Basically, your guts just break, and that obviously is a cause for death.
Dr. Camila Mora from the University of Hawaii was recorded on Radio EcoShock in 2017. And you can note that ischemia can restrict oxygen to any organ, including the brain. This may explain why part of the process of heat illness can be losing cognitive ability. The person with heat damage may not realize how serious their condition is. They could make foolish and unsafe choices during this stage, like extending a hike on a hot day, I can do it, or diving in a river without knowing how to swim. And believe it or not, both of those are common during heat waves and have happened recently in the news. The 27 Ways to Die of Heat paper says, quote, when the human body is exposed to heat, the hypothalamus triggers a cardiovascular response that dilates blood vessels to redirect blood from the core to the periphery of the body, where heat is dissipated to the environment. This compensatory shunting of blood to the skin results in inadequate blood flow to other organs, that is, ischemia, one of the five identified mechanisms, end quote. The authors later continue, cell damage from heat cytotoxicity, which we'll cover in a minute, and ischemia can lead to other serious conditions, such as acute tubular necrosis in the kidneys, permanent loss of brain function, liver endotoxins in the blood, inflammation of the pancreas, and not enough oxygen getting to the lungs into the blood because of injury of the pulmonary endothelium. I note that loss of brain function and permanent. The second way heat damages our body is called heat cytotoxicity. Our cells depend on a fairly narrow range of temperatures within the body to continue living and to function. If body temperatures go beyond the tolerance of the cells, well, cell death begins. That is cytotoxicity. I'm about to play you a short clip with Dr. Mora on heat cytotoxicity. And what is heat cytotoxicity? Did you already cover that?
No. So another thing that happens, obviously the ischemia is one that can kill you. The other one that can kill you as well is what is called heat cytotoxicity. So when the blood comes back in hot, and obviously your body is generating more heat, the temperature of the body gets higher than the optimum temperature, which is roughly 37 degrees Celsius. So if it gets hotter than that, then basically you start cooking yourself. Think about like a sunburn. So many organs start getting damaged, physically damaged, but some other organs can also break. Yeah, but just imagine this like a massive sunburn, and eventually your skin just peels off. So the same thing happens, but now inside your body, and what it does, of course, is that it starts helping the breaking of the membranes that maintain the structure of many of these organs. So the heart, for instance, starts breaking into pieces, and then it doesn't work as good in a moment when you need your heart very bad. So having a sex heat is pretty bad for your heart. It's also terrible for your lungs. Obviously, you start respirating more because you need more oxygen. And with this heat cytotoxicity and you cooking your lungs, the lungs don't work as well. So many people start also suffering from lack of oxygen getting to their bloodstream. And that is what is called heat cytotoxicity, basically the time when the temperature is hotter than what the temperature that can be tolerated by yourself.
Let's talk about inflammation and blood clots. As I understand it, the third mechanism, the inflammatory response, involves an overactive or improperly targeted immune system, a condition that develops during longer durations of excessive heat. In persistent hyperthermia, immune mediators like cytotoxins can lead to leakage from the affected organs and damaging chemical states. Not easy to understand, but once the cells get overheated, various organs, including the gut, can leak. Inflammation of the vascular system can also trigger another mechanism called disseminated intravascular coagulation. As you might imagine, this involves blood clotting, and that is the double danger. You know blood clots can wreck a limb or collect in your lungs or brain, causing major function loss or even kill you? As Wiki tells us, disseminated intravascular coagulation, quote, symptoms may include chest pain, shortness of breath, leg pain, problems speaking, or problems moving parts of the body, end quote. And then there's blood clots. Really, blood clots are a factor in heating?
That you have these blood clogging proteins that, interestingly enough, are sensitive to heat, so they become overreactive. So everywhere they are, they just create coagulation wherever they are. So that the clogging can kill you, right, because you ended up getting a clog. But the other problem that will happen is the fact that you will start running out of the clogging protein, so that if you had a small cut, you can bleed to death because the body cannot clog it, because you pretty much use all of your resources of those proteins. So those cloggings are actually bad from both ends. They can kill you because they clog the blood, and when you run out of them, the lack of proteins that clog can also kill you, because you can have a danger of dying from an hemorrhage just because there is no clogging proteins left.
During heat, blood can begin to coagulate, clogging arteries or veins. That, of course, can be deadly or lead to serious damage to a limb or something else. But as the body continues to create more clogging agents, it can eventually use them all up. It runs out. Then the body cannot stop any bleeding that may happen after that. So blood clotting during heat exposure is a double-edged danger.
Skin gets red and you start to sweat. 27 ways to feel regret. Cracks on the road, burning feet. The air so warm you can barely breathe. Feeling dizzy, can't stand straight. Heat can't seal a dangerous fate. Stay cool, stay cool. Heat it kills, don't you be a fool. Ah!
We round up our tour of ways excess heat can kill with the fifth mechanism from that 2017 summary. It's called rhabdomyolysis. I had never heard of it. Rhabdomyolysis. Sometimes the name is shortened to rhabdo, and that seems a little bit easier. Wiki says, quote, rhabdomyolysis, shortened as rhabdo, is a condition in which damaged skeletal muscle breaks down rapidly, often due to high-intensity exercise over a short period of time. Symptoms may include muscle pains, weakness, vomiting, and confusion. There may be tea-colored urine or an irregular heartbeat. Some of the muscle breakdown products, such as the protein myoglobulin, are harmful to the kidneys and can cause acute kidney injury. The muscle damage is most usually caused by a crush injury, strenuous exercise, medications, or a substance use disorder. Other causes include infections, electrical injury, heat stroke, prolonged immobilization, lack of blood flow to a limb, or snake bites, as well as intense prolonged exercise in hot conditions, end quote from Wikipedia. Well, earlier I talked about the immune system and I asked Dr. Mora whether excess heat can damage that. He said they found no literature to support damage to the immune system by heat. However, 7 years later, a new study by the American Heart Association reveals heat can damage the immune system. Published March 20, 2024, the paper is called Heat Exposure May Increase Inflammation and Impair the Immune System. They say, quote, short-term exposure to higher heat may increase inflammation and interfere with normal immune system functions in the body, which may in turn increase susceptibility to infections and accelerate the progression of cardiovascular disease, according to preliminary research, end quote. When the heat waves strike in 2024, there's a double risk. The immune system may already be damaged by COVID, especially with repeated infections, or excess heat exposure may lower the immune system, making us more likely to get COVID if exposed. Threats interact. With Dr. Mora, we kept our focus on the medical ways heat damages people's bodies. But everyone knows extreme heat, especially long-lasting heat waves, have significant psychological impacts as well. In 2023, the U.S. National Center for Biotechnology Information, the NCBI, published a reference paper called High Temperatures on Mental Health, Recognizing the Association and Need for Proactive Strategies. They say, quote, psychological symptoms can include stress, irritability, sleep disturbances, reduced motivation, decreased mood and enjoyment, and agitation. And check this out from the NCBI paper, quote, the psychological stress response to high temperatures includes the release of stress hormones like adrenaline and cortisol. These hormones can evoke emotional responses, leading to feelings of irritability, restlessness, and heightened emotional sensitivity. Individuals may find themselves more prone to frustration, impatience, and interpersonal conflicts during heat exposure, underscoring the intricate link between physiological and emotional well-being, end quote. And then there is this, aggravation of pre-existing mental health conditions. High temperatures can exacerbate symptoms of pre-existing mental health conditions. Individuals with conditions such as anxiety disorders, depression, or bipolar disorder may experience intensified symptoms during heat waves, making it crucial to manage their mental health effectively. Be aware, heat affects the brain and can lead to very poor decision-making. As I said, a hot person who cannot swim may dive into a lake anyway, and we will hear about that in my coverage of the Russian heat wave in 2010. There were a lot of drownings then. Alcohol may have been a contributing factor, and people use alcohol to try and cool down or to end the suffering of the heat. But it is not uncommon to find a person experiencing heat stroke who is unaware of the danger they are in. They may continue to exercise or work in very dangerous conditions. The coach may encourage them. They may dispute that they are in danger, even while displaying obvious signs of heat illness. They may decline treatment. Those trying to help heat victims should keep cognitive decline in mind. I wonder, as heat waves become dominant, perhaps billions of people will face decline in some mental functioning. They may carry long-lasting to lifelong physical damages, including undiagnosed organ damage. If someone dies of heart failure due to damage suffered during a heat wave years earlier, neither doctors nor the family would know the real cause was heat. Excess deaths may increase during global warming, and that's the only way we'll see it. To my knowledge, the scope and facts of this heat risk to future populations is not known and possibly not knowable. Scientists may try models for predictions, but you can't predict much when multiple systems collide and states of chaos multiply. Stranger still, as Dr. Mora tells us, we may not even know we are dying of heat. The death may come days or years later. This delay is called the harvesting effect. There may be more fatalities 1 or 2 days after the heat wave is gone, and countless more over following years or decades. Let's go to a replay of one of my best interviews on the medical impacts of extreme heat. Our guest was Elizabeth Hanna. She is a nurse with a doctorate and was national convener of the Climate Change Adaptation Research Network for Human Health at Australian National University. We talked in 2013, and her wisdom and experience in this field is just what we need to hear again today as the planet roasts.
Radio EcoShock.
Some scientists and authorities, like the International Energy Agency, warn humanity is headed for a world 3.5 degrees C hotter in as little, perhaps, as 25 years. Perhaps you think we'll just turn up the air conditioner, but much of the world's work is done outside. Can humans cope with those kind of temperatures? Here to help us is Dr. Elizabeth Hanna. She's a nurse with a doctorate and national convener of the Climate Change Adaptation Research Network for Human Health at Australian National University. We've reached Dr. Hanna in Warsaw at the COP19 Climate Talks. Welcome to Radio EcoShock.
And hello to your listeners.
Liz, let's get to your specialty, the capacity of the human body to cope with climate change. What are the challenges that we will face?
If we continue up to, you know, that 3.5 and some say 4 and indeed 6 degrees, the essential thing is this is ultimately, it's not compatible with human existence. That's the raw and the ugly truth of it. And that's why we really do need to do something about it. And of course, the pathway to that is it's not all going to be hunky-dory and really nice until one day it's not pleasant. It'll be this gradual increasing change, such as we're already noticing. And if you notice the, you know, the heat waves that are happening all over the world, the floods, the droughts, the, you know, the typhoons such as Haiyan, this is happening when it's not even 1 degree warmer. I shudder to think what 2 degrees, you know, the guardrail that we're all trying to stay below, even that is going to cause so much more human misery. So, I mean, the major health impacts, it depends really on where you are. The countries that are vulnerable to these typhoons, they're obviously going to have more of those, such as the Philippines. It's very difficult for the climate scientists to attribute any specific particular event to, this one was climate change. But that's in many respects the wrong question. The trend is on the basis of probability, the fact that we're getting so many more and they're so more intense, that's the real question, and the answer to that is a definite yes. And so the people that are suffering the typhoons, Australia's had, you know, intense droughts, intense heat waves and intense floods, and we're not alone. You know, Europe lost, you know, some reports, including the World Health Organization, suggest that 70,000 people died in the heat waves in Europe. And that's temperatures that are nothing like what Australia hits, but the whole thing is relative. Russia, you know, the Moscow heat wave, A, caused lots of fires, B, caused a lot of crop failures. And one of the sort of less direct impacts are when you have major heat waves and droughts and indeed floods. If you wipe out the crops from one of the major food exporting countries, such as what Russia did at that time, and you can sort of understand, if they lose a good deal of their stable crops, they stopped exporting. When a major food exporter stops exporting, the food prices globally escalate, and that carries over to the other basic foodstuffs. And if you think about the people who are largely dependent, you know, particularly the sub-Saharan African people, if they're already spending 80% of their weekly income on food, their capacity to absorb doubling or an extra 50% of the food prices is not something that they can't really do. So there are the complex ramifications in terms of food shortages and food insecurity, water problems. Obviously, people are going to suffer if they're caught in the floods, the risk of cholera and the waterborne diseases. General heat causes a lot of extra foodborne diseases. And, of course, when you change the climate and you get, you know, the malaria, which once upon a time was restricted to a certain area because it doesn't like getting below 15 degrees, when you find with warming in many countries, the range of the mosquito is extending into what we call virgin populations. And so the people who are not equipped to cope physiologically and indeed in their cultural practices, and indeed the medicos who, you know, they're not used to looking for, you know, malaria, dengue is another one that's extending. And of course, my own work is heat. That's a real killer for places like Australia. But, of course, as we've seen, I mean, cooler places like Russia and Europe have had massive death rates because of heat.
Well, let's talk about the human body. What are the upper tolerances that we can handle?
It's interesting. When you think about it, we need to keep our core temperature within a really very narrow range, between about 36 and 37. And when the outside air temperature is higher than that, then it's very difficult for us to lose heat. And we generate heat just through our metabolism. But it's interesting that sort of 80% of the energy produced by working muscles is heat, so that has to be dissipated. And when you have temperatures outside the human body, the ambient temperature, that's getting close to that, then it's really difficult to shed that extra heat. And so if we can't shed it, we store it. And as you know, when your temperature gets to about 38, you start feeling pretty ordinary. 38.5, you're certainly reaching for the Panadol. And in hospitals where I've started my working career, we'd be in intensive care. We'd be certainly giving not only aspirins but antibiotics. You're really quite ill when your core temperature is about 39. And, of course, people die when their core temperature reaches 40, 41. We really can't tolerate that now. And what's really significant is that it depends on what your normal range is, your normal natural environment, but there is an upper limit. And if you think about when people like to put the air conditioning on or the heating, they tend to set it at around about 22 degrees, which is 15 degrees cooler than our body temperature. And, of course, this basically means that when the outside temperature is much hotter than our body temperature, then this is when it becomes problematic.
Liz Hanna, in the business press, major corporations and economists